Hello and welcome to the Animal Health Employment Insider, brought to you by The Vet Recruiter. In this podcast, search consultant Stacy Purcell, founder and CEO of The Vet Recruiter, provides insight and practical advice for both companies and job seekers in the animal health industry and veterinary profession. The Vet Recruiter's mission is to help animal health and veterinary organizations acquire top talent while helping professionals in the animal health industry and veterinary profession attain career-enhancing opportunities that increase their quality of life. In today's podcast, we'll be talking about the offer of employment from the employer point of view. Welcome, Stacy, and thank you for joining us.
Hello, Sharita. I'm glad to be here again today.
Well, Stacy, today we're talking about the offer of employment. Now, we've touched upon this subject before, mainly though from the perspective of the candidate, but now we're attacking it from the perspective of the employer. Why exactly is that?
Well, as you know, we are in a candidate's job market right now, and since that is the case, it makes the offer stage of the hiring process more important, especially for the employer. And that's because candidates, especially top candidates, have a lot of options right now. As a result, employers cannot assume that just because they extend a job offer to a candidate, that the candidate will accept the offer. There are a lot of things that an employer has to do in today's market to ensure that their top choice candidate will accept their offer and become an employee.
Okay, so what are some of the specific reasons that animal health and veterinary professionals are rejecting job offers these days?
Well, that's a good question, and there are different reasons. In fact, sometimes there are a combination of reasons, and employers must be aware of them if they are to understand what is truly happening in the employment marketplace today. Awareness is crucial if animal health and veterinary employers want to hire the best talent available. It's not just about finding the best candidates, it's also about successfully recruiting them and hiring them.
Okay, that makes sense. Even if you find the best candidate and convince them to consider your opportunity, it doesn't matter if you make an offer to them and they turn that offer down.
Yes, that's right. And all of that represents a lot of wasted time, effort, and energy. And as we know, wasted time, effort, and energy translates into wasted money. None of that is appealing to employers.
Absolutely. So what are some of the reasons that a candidate would reject an offer?
The first reason is the most obvious. The starting compensation is too low, or the offer overall is just not good enough. In a candidate's job market, you have to make a compelling offer. In other words, the opportunity has to be clearly better than the job the candidate already has, and this includes the job offer. The job offer has to be clearly better than what the candidate's current employer is offering them. The good news is that many employers in the animal health industry and veterinary profession are starting to realize that they have to make compelling offers to their top choice candidate. The bad news is that some employers are slow to recognize this reality of the marketplace and adjust their practices accordingly. As a result, those employers are more likely to see their offers rejected by top candidates.
Okay, now what's another reason why a candidate would reject an offer of employment?
They would reject it if they receive a better offer from another organization. Remember, top candidates are typically part of more than one hiring process, and sometimes they receive multiple job offers at roughly the same time. Obviously, they are going to accept the one that is most attractive and that makes the most sense and then reject the other one or ones. That's yet another reason why employers must make their very best offer to their top choice candidate. They have no idea if another organization is also courting the candidate. To be safe, they must assume that that is the case. And a third reason is related to this one. That is if the candidate has accepted a counteroffer from their current employer.
Doesn't that usually involve the candidate first accepting an organization's offer and then maybe declining it after they accept the counteroffer?
Yes, that is typically the case. And I coach the candidates that I work with to not accept a counteroffer. Nothing good can typically come from accepting a counteroffer. However, they do happen. In fact, the more impressive the candidate, the more likely they are to receive a counteroffer. And that's because their current employer considers them to be extremely valuable. This is why a hiring manager must execute their due diligence during the hiring process to prevent it from happening.
Okay, so how can they go about doing that?
Well, one thing they can do is they can straight up ask the candidate if they would accept a counteroffer.
Really?
Yes, absolutely, and they should. That way, they can keep the candidate accountable if a counteroffer becomes an issue at any point in the process.
I see. Now, what is another reason that a candidate would reject an offer?
Another reason would be if the hiring process drags out. If the hiring process is too long, that increases the chances that a candidate will drop out of it. This is especially the case in regards to top candidates. Once again, they have more options and are probably interviewing with multiple companies. If an organization's hiring process is dragging on and one of the other companies with which a candidate is interviewing has a shorter hiring process, the other company is probably going to win. Time is of the essence during the hiring process, and employers must remember that if they want to ensure acceptance, of their offer.
Okay, I see. Now, what are some best practices for employers in terms of actually making the offer?
Well, one of the big parts of an offer of employment is the starting salary, and it's true that candidates are expecting to be offered a salary that is bigger than what they already have. In fact, some candidates are expecting to be offered a salary that is much bigger than what they already have. So with that in mind, there are some numbers that the hiring manager and other company officials must know before they make an offer to their top choice candidate.
Okay, what are those numbers?
Well, there are four main ones. The first one is the salary that the organization can afford to pay. Basically, this is what the organization has budgeted for the position. Ideally, it's the maximum amount that they're going to be willing to pay in order to hire the top candidate. This is definitely a number that you should know before making an offer of employment. The second number is the current market value for the position. After all, there's a good chance that the candidate knows this number too. They've probably been tracking this number for the majority of their career. And the third number is the current level of compensation for all of the candidates who are on the organization's short list for consideration.
Okay, I've got a question about this. Isn't it now illegal for employers to ask about compensation levels for candidates who are applying for jobs?
At the present time, that is only the case in a handful of states and a few select cities. I would imagine, however, that this list of states and cities prohibiting employers from asking about current salary will increase. But for now, that number is small. As a recruiter, I recommend disclosing your salary information in those states where it is not prohibited.
Why? I mean, won't that doing that, you know, affect the offer, you know, in some way that the employee makes?
I have long believed that the offer is dependent upon how much value the employer believes the candidate will bring to the organization. And we've discussed this before in a previous podcast about negotiating money during the hiring process. Ultimately, how well you interview and how much you impress the hiring manager has a lot to determine what kind of offer a candidate will receive. If animal health and veterinary employers want to hire top candidates who are in short supply, they can't make it a habit to lowball their offers regardless of whether they know the candidate's current compensation level or not.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what is the fourth number?
The fourth number is the exact salary figure needed to guarantee acceptance of the offer by the candidate.
Now, how would the employer know what that number is?
And that's a great question. And the answer, of course, is by working with a search consultant. An animal health recruiter or veterinary recruiter can be a tremendous help during the hiring process, but they can be especially helpful during the offer stage.
Why is that?
The search consultant or recruiter has been working closely with the candidate throughout the hiring process. Better than anyone else, they know what is important to the candidate and what kind of offer the candidate is hoping to receive. There's a good chance that they also know the candidate's current compensation level, at least in the states that don't have the ban that we just discussed. And they're more than likely to know the level of compensation that would convince the candidate to accept the offer. And if an organization is working with a search consultant or recruiter, there's one more important thing that the hiring manager should do.
Really? What is that?
They should let the search consultant or recruiter make the formal offer to the candidate and not be tempted to do it themselves.
Now, what's the reason for that? Wouldn't it make, you know, more sense for the company to make the offer?
In a lot of ways, this is similar to a real estate transaction. The buyer doesn't make an offer to the seller directly. Instead, they work through an agent. In this case, the buyer is the company and the seller is the candidate. To get the job done, they work through the search consultant or recruiter. And in my experience, and I've talked with thousands of candidates over the years, and they have told me, most candidates tell me that they're more comfortable working through the recruiter if they want to talk candidly about the offer or negotiate the offer. Many candidates are not as comfortable doing that directly with the company. Unfortunately, however, there are some hiring managers who don't recognize this.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, Stacy, have you ever worked with a client and the hiring manager made the offer to one of your candidates without your knowledge?
I have. It's happened on more than one occasion.
And what did that look like?
Well, in some cases when this has happened, the candidate has been taken aback and sometimes put off because they thought that I was the one that was going to be making the offer. I've had some cases where the candidate rejected the offer because maybe it was too low. And anyway, when this happens, it leaves the hiring manager wondering what happened. This is why if an organization is working with a search consultant to help them fill the position, that organization should let the search consultant, who is the expert, make the offer to the candidate.
This makes so much sense. Stacy, thank you again so much. You always give us great information.
Thank you, Sharita. I enjoyed it, and I look forward to our next podcast.